This morning, I'm going to share something with you related to God's divine enterprise. Amen. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Watchman Nee speaks of God's gospel enterprise. So this morning, we want to spend some time to fellowship about the gospel and how God is longing for some to join in with him to preach the gospel. Amen. You know, Reed, you probably already know this, but the word enterprise, if you look it up in the dictionary, it is defined as a business, number one. An enterprise is a business. On the other hand, an enterprise is defined as a difficult undertaking. What enterprise means. And in a sense, we could say that God is in the commodities business. Listen to this. God takes raw, natural materials and metabolically changes them into something special, something precious for the building up of the body of Christ. He transforms sinners into sons of God for the fulfillment of his eternal purpose.
Amen.
Did you hear me? He takes sinners, and transforms them into precious materials for the fulfillment of his eternal purpose. Well, not only does God have an enterprise, Baylor, God also has a business plan. Did you ever consider that? On one hand, God's business plan is revealed in the New Testament. The entire New Testament, in a way, is his business plan. You know, Bryant, I have, in addition to my full-time job as a physical therapist, I have two small businesses. And for these two small businesses, I have a definite business plan. Now, this is probably news to Anna, because I've never written it out. But in my mind, because I want my business to be successful, I have a definite business plan. And this business plan actually includes a marketing plan. I want my business to be successful, so I've spent the time to get in it. Well, what is God's business plan? It can be summed up in one Greek word, oikonomia. This is translated strictly as household law or household administration. God's business plan is his arrangement, his plan to dispense all that he is into man, to transform them, to become something so precious that he could build his house, which will one day consummate the new Jerusalem. I'd like somebody, if you could, maybe on the front row, could read a verse for me. First Timothy 2. Anybody have the Bible on their, you got it there, Obi? Could you start with Savior God in 3b? Okay, listen to this. This is so good.
Our Savior God, who desires all men to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth.
Okay. Amen. Our Savior God, who desires some men.
No.
The Bible doesn't say that. Our Savior God, who desires what?
All men.
A little louder.
All men.
All men?
All men.
Black men?
All men.
White men?
All men.
Old men?
Yeah.
Young men?
All men.
Women? Men? Woe man? Women? Men? Old? Young? God desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. So listen to this. On one hand, yes, God wants all men to be saved. This includes women, our family members, our neighbors, our classmates. God desires all men to be saved. But God is very mysterious. He purposely decided that he would only operate in the New Testament age through the principle of incarnation. That means he will only operate if there's a man that will cooperate with him. He won't do it alone. God actually needs business partners. He needs partners. He longs to have those that would cooperate with him to carry out what he wants to do. Did you know this matter of preaching the gospel is what we were chosen to do? Did you know this is why he chose us? I can prove it to you. Okay, Obi, you got your Bible?
Yes.
John 15:16. Can you read that one?
John 15:16.
Right, this is the portion that talks about the branches being grafted into the vine and our need to stay in the vine. And
yeah. You did not choose me.
Okay, wait a second. You did not choose me. I thought I did. I thought I did choose him. Okay, listen. He says, you did not choose me. But what?
But I chose you.
I chose you. You did not choose me. I chose you. And then what?
I set you.
I set you. In other words, I grafted you in to the vine. That's what it means to set. Okay. I chose, you did not choose me. I chose you and I set you.
Right.
Why? Listen.
That you should go forth.
That you should go forth.
And bear fruit.
And bear fruit. You should go forth and bear fruit. That's why he chose us.
Amen.
That's why he grafted us into the vine, that we would be those that bear fruit and that
your fruit should remain.
Right, and that our fruit should remain.
Amen.
This is why God chose us. Okay, then can you read Romans 10:14-15?
Romans 10:14. How then shall they call upon him into whom they have not believed?
Right. So without believing in the Lord, you'd never call on him. Okay.
And how shall they believe into him of whom they have not heard?
Right. So if they have never heard about him, how could they believe in him? Right.
And how
God understands it. You know, people ask about the pygmies in Africa, you know, that never heard about Jesus. Well, God is fair. He addresses it right here.
And how shall they hear without one who proclaims him?
Right. So this is the key for us. How shall they hear without one who proclaims him?
And how shall they proclaim him unless they are sent?
Right. And how shall they proclaim him unless they are sent? Brothers and sisters, the verse in John 15:16 reveals that we have been sent. Yes. This is why he chose us. This is why he set us. Actually, our bearing of fruit should be a kind of a spontaneous result of abiding in the vine. Because God is love, we get filled with that love and we're burdened for our family and our friends and even our fellow mankind. Okay, but there's a problem. There's a problem. It's a big problem. I'm scared to death to talk to people about the Lord. I can talk about football all day. I can talk to strangers about the Cowboys and how terrible they are. They win every other game. You know, that Dak Prescott, come on. Okay. But listen, when it comes to preaching the gospel, I can't hardly do it. I'm scared, and it doesn't even make sense that I'd be scared. I mean, I'm just going to talk to somebody about the Lord, my Savior, my Christ. Anyhow, this is the way we are. Is there anyone else in the audience like me? Am I the only one that gets scared, that gets nervous, that feels like I don't know what I'm going to say? I don't want to look like a fool. Okay, what should we do? We should simply follow the pattern of the Lord Jesus. It's not that hard. The devil makes us think it's hard, but it's not that hard. Okay, this is what the Lord Jesus did in Matthew 13. He likened himself to a sower, S-O-W-E-R, someone that is spreading seed. He himself is the sower. The seed represents the word of God, which actually also is Christ himself. But this is how he did it. This is how he did it. He just got the seed. Okay, Chris, can you do this? Let me see. His technique is perfect. Listen, the Lord, he didn't even use discernment. He didn't use any kind of brains. Why do I say that? Because he put the seed on four different kinds of ground. He put it on ground that was so hard. The ground beside the way that had been trampled underfoot. No way that seed could get in. I mean, we're talking about Jesus. He spread the seed among thorns. He spread the seed among rocks. He spread the seed also, thankfully, on the good ground so that the seed could really take root and bear fruit, even a hundredfold. You know, let me use this illustration. It's not that hard. The devil, like I said, makes us think it's hard. But I tell you, with a gospel tract, even a 12-year-old girl can cause someone to have a life-altering experience with God. You know, we think we don't have the words. Well, we have some marvelous tracts. I mean, it explains things better than we could ever explain things. And I'm so impressed with the way that the Lord took. He didn't exercise discernment, no discrimination. Okay, let me, you three brothers, can you stand up here for just a second? Okay. This guy, okay, these are unbelievers, okay? All right. This guy has done steroids since he was 4. His nickname is Kong, as in King Kong. Okay. Baylor, come here. Okay, this guy, he has blue hair. He has earrings and nose rings. Okay, this guy here, oh, he wears a tie every day. He carries a briefcase. He looks like one of us already. Some of us. Okay, Baylor. Which one of these unbelievers needs to hear the gospel?
All of them.
I'm asking Baylor. Baylor, don't listen to them. You answer by yourself. All three. They all three need to hear. Okay, Baylor. Could you show the saints how easy it is to preach the gospel using a gospel tract? Could you? You want to go to Kong? He doesn't scare you? Okay.
Have you ever wondered what the meaning of life is? Well,
no, actually have been wondering what the meaning of life is.
Take this tract and it'll help find the answers.
Baylor, that was perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, listen, okay, thank you, brothers and sisters. What we're gonna do next is turn the meeting over to a few other saints to just kind of share their experiences, some related to preaching the gospel and at least one related to meeting a brother. So I'm gonna go ahead and turn that over. I think, Nancy was going to go first. So, Nancy, are you ready? Okay.
Oh, we've already said it all. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, yes, this matter of... All right, first of all, just really quick. You might not realize this, but I'm very timid, very shy, and it's hard for me to do anything. In the meetings, you know, with the saints, it's wonderful. But just when you get out, I'm not that way. But I've learned that, especially not just here, but especially here in Texas, most of the people you run into are already Christians. I'll ask them, okay, there's something rises up in me when I'm out and I run into people and I see people, and there's just something in me that says, you need to give them the mystery of human life and an opportunity to get a free study Bible. And so I always have these things available with me to give them to them. And lots of times what I'll do is I'll ask them, are you a Christian? And now I've learned from Carol just recently that even I can say, well, okay, I still have something for you. Normally they don't do that here in Texas. They say they are Christian. So I say, well, I have this wonderful little tract. Okay, Mystery of Human Life, and it's for you. And so I give that to them, okay? And I said, even though you're a Christian, you'll love it. It's wonderful. And then also we're giving away. And by the way, you can also say, I'm a representative for Bibles for America. Okay, because we all are representatives. I'm a representative for an organization called Bibles for America. We give away free study Bibles, free New Testament study Bibles. And there are 9,000 footnotes in it. And they're like, oh, that's wonderful. You know, and so there are so many people that just want it. You don't realize they're Christians. Some of them really and truly are Christians. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not. They'll probably get saved once they read Mystery of Human Life. But nonetheless, there's just something that rises up in me, you know, and I don't know what it's the Lord, because like he said, the Lord loves everybody. You know, yesterday I just have to repent because there was a man that came into the restaurant. As we were going into the restaurant, there was a man walking out of the bathroom. I don't know if you noticed him, honey. And he had a big smile on his face. And I hesitated and he left. And then I was like, Lord, I miss the opportunity. There are opportunities around us, all around us, everywhere, okay? You know, you run into lots of people when you go places, and you may not have time to speak to them, but for a long time. One thing I do tell them, in this Bible, there's Like I said, you know, John 3:16, you know, God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Is that that word is supposed to be in too. And just like you said, mm-hmm. I tell them this, I say, when, because you're a Christian, the Lord, when you, that word is, I'm getting mixed up here. All right, let's go back a minute. One thing I do say sometimes is that the King James Version is very good, but it was translated very quickly. And so there's mistakes, like that verse in John 3:16, where when you believe in the Lord, it said it's supposed to be into. Yeah. When you believe into the Lord, you get into him, he gets into you, and a wonderful life relationship between the two of you. Something like that, something out of the word, that's out of the footnote, actually, you know, that they can get caught by. And so I don't know what else to say except for it's been a wonderful experience, and everybody can do it. Like I tell you, you might think I'm bold, but I'm not. I'm very timid. When I was 9 months old, before that, I was very, very aggressive, my mother said, but once I got burned really badly, I went the other way. And so I've always been like that my whole life.
Mm.
I think in the church life, it helps a lot, but still, nonetheless, some of us, even if we are really timid, you can do it. You can just, something of the Lord will rise up inside of you. It will rise up, and then you are able to give these things away. And they also have, where to put it, okay, sometimes if I have an opportunity, if I'm like when I was in the rehab and I gave things away, and then I had brought some of the little booklets with me, and depending on the person that I'm talking to, you know, calling on the Lord, there was one, and I had several books, and this one lady, she wanted the Mystery of Human Life, but I wasn't quite sure, and so I showed her a few of them, and one of them was about, talks about teenagers. I can't remember what it is, but anyway, she chose that one. I was surprised she did, because she had teenage kids. So anyway, praise the Lord, we have an opportunity to spread this word, just like he said.
Amen.
You know, a sower went forth to sow. So when we're enjoying the Lord, the seed is there, and it's just scattered.
Amen. Amen.
I just want to share something about how the Lord, you know, she just scattered the seed. You know, there was no discrimination. He was just giving, because every man needs to be saved.
Amen.
And come to the full knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
So we have to give every man the opportunity. You don't need to look at them. Mm-hmm. But our, you know, we look at the people. If I was going to preach the gospel, the one that was in the tie, look nice, I'll be going to that one. You know, maybe this one doesn't look my, it doesn't fit my choice, so I would not go to that one. I had an example of this at my job. Monday morning we come to work, these two young ladies come and they tell us about the parties they went last, you know, at the weekend. And I just don't like the Monday morning when I go to work. All the parties and all this and that, you mm-hmm. just can imagine, you know. Mm-hmm. But these two young ladies, one of them, I was in the break room, she came to me. I don't want to talk to him and her anyways, but she came to me and she saw some paper, she saw something about Christian something. So we talked a little bit and I gave her Mystery of Human Life. And I said, you go home tonight, read this thing carefully, and do exactly as he tells you. The next morning, she came running. She said, I got saved.
Wow.
I did that.
Amen.
Wow, shock. So then I take her every day, our break time, I gave her a recovery version, and we started having a little meeting.
Mm.
The other one said, you've been meeting with Anne. I want to join you.
Wow.
And I said, we are not joking. So, you know, I just kind of brush her off. Then she came to me again the second time. Because she didn't fit my choice. She goes to party too much, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't need a gospel according to me. But shockingly, I preached the gospel. She got saved.
Wow.
So I got two. Started to meet with them. And one of them actually started coming to the meetings with us.
Wonderful.
We don't need to make the choice. We need to give to everyone,
yeah, right.
person, anybody. That the word said, All men must be saved.
Amen.
We don't make the choice. Just give it to everybody.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, Sam.
Praise the Lord, saints.
Amen.
If you ask my wife or my any of my children to use one word to describe my personality, they're probably going to say very bold and loud. But I got to realize lately that I'm not that very bold. You know, I struggle sometimes handing tracts or speaking to people. But my strength comes from the Lord's commission and His promise to us.
Amen.
You know, He commissioned us to disciple all the nations.
That's right. Yes.
That was His commission to us. And His promise is that I will be with you all the days until the consummation of this age.
Amen.
So we need to trust in Him. We need to trust in His word and His promise to us.
Amen.
One thing that I found out in my experience in contacting people is that people are very, very open. Open to receive. I don't recall, at least this year, because I've handed a lot of tracts this year already. But I don't recall being rejected one time.
Right.
Wow.
The closest to being rejected was an experience that I had at a place where I went for oil change. As I was getting ready to pay, there were three people in front. So I took out tracts, I handed it to the guy. The guy said, no, I'm a Muslim.
Yeah.
This is Christian thing, I don't do it.
Yeah.
But his two other friends were also Muslim. So I just handed it to the other two. They took it. Because they took it, I went back to him, and he took it. So that was a good experience, right? Another thing that I also noticed is that no matter how many tracts I have in my hand, let's say in the morning, if I took five, the five will be gone.
Wow.
If I took three will be gone. If I don't have anything, which sometimes I don't, I miss that day. I miss that opportunity that day.
Mm.
So we just need to be ready.
Right.
Saints, we can all do this. We can all do this. Amen. I believe we can all do this.
Mm-hmm.
Another experience that I had was at the car wash right here on Boeing. So I went there to took my car for detailing. So I sat down waiting for my car to be ready to be done. And then there was another man that sat right across from me. Something within me just said, you have to hand this, you have to say something to this guy. So I got up, I went in and gave him a tract. And lo and behold, he started reading it right in front of me. And I was just telling him, this is the best Bible he can think of. He has footnotes, he has charts. And then as he was reading that, I realized that I have a free Bible in my vehicle. So I went in there and got the Bible, handed it to him. Oh, he was so thankful.
Wow.
And he looked at the chart in the back about the 70 weeks, rapture.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is what our pastor is sharing on right now in the book of Revelation.
Mm.
And he was so thankful.
Mm.
So saints, I just like to charge every one of you. We all can do this.
Amen.
We can
hand out
Bibles.
That's
we can hand out. And you know, you can even have an account free of charge with BFA. And they give you five Bibles every month to give out to people.
Wow.
Every single month, free of charge. You don't have to pay anything for it. The next month, you order another five. You give it out. The following month, you order another five. So, since I believe we all can do this, you know, to disciple all the nations. Amen. This is the Lord's charge to each one of us.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You know, by now, when looking at the tracks out here on the north entryway, a little marquee, a little sign above that reads a verse from Matthew regarding, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached unto all the nations." This gospel being preached unto all the nations is our way of going out to contact people in all different levels of society.
Amen.
From our co-workers to even our neighbors.
Amen.
And I appreciate this opportunity that I could share with y'all a recent experience I had with one of my neighbors, Carson. He's about 21 years of age, and I've known him since he was just knee-high to a grasshopper. And through the years, I'd observe him. Sometimes I would have a little greeting with him. And a few months back, it was after the table meeting. So I'm at my mailbox at the street, standing there, basically doing nothing. He sees me and he comes across the street to say hello. And as we're speaking, I begin to realize Carson is troubled.
Mm.
I've never seen him anxious before.
Hmm.
And the thought occurring to me was, this could be the time of life.
Wow.
You know, there's a verse that reads time of life, which means that it's an appointed time by God, not by Bob or whoever, but that the Lord had provided, if you will, a divine appointment.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, I did not feel ready at present. I was just not in the mood. But within, I realized this was a privilege and it was an opportunity to provide a solution to his problem. He opened a little just to say that he had a girlfriend, she left him, and he was just troubled emotionally. He was anxious. So I told Carson, you know, I know of something that would help you in this moment. And are you open? Would you like to know? And he says, yes, sir, I would like to know. And I said, well, that person, that solution is just Christ himself. Would you be willing to pray after me? And he said, yes, I am willing.
Wow.
I mean, how easy is that?
Hey.
You know, they're just. So I just prayed. He followed my prayer to repent, to receive the Lord, to want to know and to love the Lord. He, Barbara, believed into God.
Amen.
Why can I say that? Because he opened to repent, to receive, and minutes later, I asked Carson, who was very troubled a little earlier, said, hey, Carson, how do you feel right now? And it's like he did a quick assessment, you know, kind of checked himself. I'm at peace. Mr. Ridley, I feel good. His anxiety got swallowed up by believing into God in that moment.
Amen.
You know, there's also a verse reading that there is joy among the angels of God when one sinner repents.
That's right.
And that joy, I assure you, that joy is not one-sided, because my heart was gladdened at that point.
That's right.
That is one excellent way to care for ourselves, is caring for others in this way.
Amen.
I'd just like to share a little testimony. It's very interesting that Christ is called the Word of God. And the Word of God, as we know it, is the Bible. So we have something physical to read that God has given to humanity, a marvelous book.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up as a young boy hating to read. I didn't want to read. In fact, that went all the way into my college experience. And then I had a dynamic experience with the Lord. I was saved. But this experience with the Lord changed my life, and I love to read. And I love to read the Bible and love to read spiritual books. And I was born again, but I feel like, saints, we don't realize where we are in the church life. What a glorious vision that the Lord has given to us,
mm-hmm.
a glorious revelation.
Amen.
We're feasting. And actually, I have to say, outside of the church life, people are starving.
Yes.
There's a famine.
Right.
And we're all insufficient. In fact, a lot of times we're rebellious. When I illustrate it, like inwardly, we're doing something, saying something, reading something, seeing something, and the Lord is bothering us. Stop. But we don't stop. We just keep going on. So we're just all the same.
Mm-hmm.
We're all rebellious this way. But I'd like to encourage you, after the meeting, go to 2 Kings chapter 7, read chapter 7. There's a bunch of lepers there. Lepers are rebellious. We're all like lepers.
Mm-hmm.
We're
mm-hmm.
rebellious. But look, we're feasting. We're feasting here in the Lord's recovery of things that men don't know of.
Right.
But we have them. So we want to be like those real lepers. But God considers the ministry of the age that has been given to us as very important. Right. Brother Lee said in 1984, the publication work is a great item in the Lord's recovery today. It's an arsenal of the Lord's recovery. It is exclusively for the production of weapons and ammunition. Uh-huh. The Defense Department of any country relies heavily upon its arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
80% of the credit for the spread of the churches abroad, especially in the West, must be given to the publication work.
Mm-hmm.
So the material that the Lord has given us, we just pass it on.
Yes.
We give it to others.
Right.
On Tuesday, I had a skin check, and the doctor, I've already given her some things, and this is the first time I saw this nurse, and she began to talk with me, and before I left, I said, oh, this is the first time, are you a new one? She said, no, I work here all the time, but that's the first time she was there with me, and I said, can you take a minute? I'd like to talk to you. She said, sure. So I started to talk to her, and I always carry with me Mystery of Human Life and Make a Point of Thumb and Inside the BFA. And then I pointed out to her, I said, look, I'd like to give this to you. And here you can get a free New Testament, BFA.org. BFA means Bibles for America. And it's a free New Testament. She said, oh, that's wonderful. I'd love to get that. And I want to give that to my daughter, Hannah, because she's only 9 years old, and I want to show her in the Bible what the Bible means.
Wow.
She took it willingly.
Amen.
Just like the saints say, I just say here in Texas, honestly, everybody is open, but we just need to take the opportunity.
Amen. Amen.
And then on Wednesday, we had another occasion. Mary, Nancy and I went got a shot for COVID again and the flu. And I'd seen this girl repeatedly. I'd given it to her. Her name is Kathy. And when we just opened up and I said, Kathy, have you gotten it yet? No, we haven't gotten it. What? It's got 9,000 footnotes to open the Bible in a marvelous way. She said, oh, I didn't realize that. I'll get it for sure. So same people are open.
Amen.
We just have to realize that the Lord is doing something.
Amen.
Once in a while, you'll get a return, and you'll get some encouragement.
Yeah.
And that happened in Mansfield. I went and had blood tests, and the girl who served me, there were two, and it's the first time I'd seen two. Anyway, I gave something to both of them, and the second one, she was staying in the office, and I said, here, I want to give it. She said, oh, you gave that to me about a month ago. I said, did you get the Bible? Yeah, I love that Bible. That's
wow.
a study Bible that's helping me in my Christian life.
Wow.
So it's very simple, very direct and open. We can't do it in ourselves. but we can do it if we have the vision. We're in a feast and others need the food.
Amen.
We're here to give people food and life, and it's full of enjoyment.
Amen. Amen.
How close is this supposed to go to my face? Is that right?
Yeah,
right
that's
there?
Good.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Good.
Eat
the ice cream cone.
I feel like I almost need to start with a disclaimer because I'm raw and natural and rough and rebellious. And I'm going to say me and I, but when I say that, I also have to say us and we.
Yeah, sure, sure.
So when I say I and me, that means us and we.
Amen,
that's
amen.
A translation. Well, for most things anyways, right?
Yeah,
she's not the rebellious one. We'll skip the disclaimer. And I want to kind of corral this because I could probably go on for a long time and maybe wear her fingers out over there on the keys. But first I want to say how blessed I am to be present and bear witness to all the prophecies. Amen. One thing that happens on me, I'm going to see if I can get through this. I feel so totally blessed that I don't feel like I have human words to express how touched I am to bear witness to God's works. And, everybody here, every time I hear somebody speak, I'm touched deep. And these are, when I'm touched like that, it flows, man, the water flows, and I can't stop it, and I have a hard time talking. So I'm going to try something different this time and get through this. I was kind of corralled here because I knew I might go on for a while. So about the tracks, I guess they're called. When I came clean slate. I didn't know anything about any of that. And everybody's been really helpful from the second I walked in here. And I kind of, God and my relationship with God, he speaks to me kind of interesting and funny sometimes a little bit. I had to change that funny perception because it's not always that funny. I always go, hey, why'd you make me wait so long? You weren't ready yet. And I go, okay. Mm-hmm. So I rebelled against that, right? I am too ready. I'm ready now, you know, but it's not on my time. And we only live 2 minutes from here. I can remember when this meeting place was being built and wondering. And anyways, the thing that I'm, when I say corralled into limiting or talking about why I'm up here right now, I was, it's about the same thing, spreading the seeds. And brother, you mentioned that if you don't have the tracks, you don't have nothing going out, but I understand that feeling, but we always have seeds to throw. It's whether we have the track or that's however it is, if we know how God's worked in our life, that can be our seed to throw and spread.
Amen.
I don't really have a problem talking to anybody. I could go anywhere and have friends all over because I love people. I love talking to anybody, you know, and I'll strike up a conversation anytime. And I get called out on that sometimes, but I'm not going to stop doing it. And that's the very reason I'm here. A brother came up and I got hooked. And the second time, man, at Walgreens down here on Bowen in Arkansas, man, God has gifted me in ways that I can't even begin to express with my limited my human words feel limiting. We're standing in line and they have those funny little stickers on the floor, 6 feet spacing or whatever, and I was standing there and brother was in front of me and he looked back and he just kept looking back and we made eye contact and he goes, that sticker said something like social distancing or something like that. And let me see, he's up there. Yeah, he's up there, so I guess he's listening. And his version of how our conversation went might be a little bit different, but how it was for me was he turned and said, social distancing, that's kind of that kind of doesn't make sense. How can you be social but distance? And I go, yeah, that's kind of confusing, isn't it? And so we struck up this conversation, and we were kind of... kind of going, you know, like, hey, this is what's going on in the world, and we're not happy with this and that, and we're just kind of sharing those things. And I don't remember which one of us said, but it was brought up, hey, it's all in God's hands, you know, even this challenging, difficult, hard, well, we don't like it or whatever, it's all in God's hands. And that was the start of that divine and mystical realm.
Yeah, amen.
In Walgreens at the checkout stand.
Yeah. Amen.
And it was time for us to pay and get out of there. And he walked out, and I was thinking to myself, I was going, yeah, I hope that guy's out there. You know, I should have got his name. Maybe I could talk more with him, that would have fellowship with him more, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I went out, and he was actually standing out there, and so we struck the conversation up again, and there's a lot more than what I'm sharing right now, but in the conversation, that's pretty profound to me, and I'm still kind of processing everything. But he said, I go, man, I'd sure like to, you know, you live around here. And he said, yeah. And I go, man, I'd sure like to hook up with you sometime, and maybe we could get together and share a little more, you know. And he goes, well, you know, busy Sunday. And I go, well, yeah, what do you got? And he goes, well, there's a funny little building down there on Pleasant Ridge. And he goes, you know Pleasant Ridge? And I go, yeah, yeah. And I go, are you talking about that church next to the park? And he goes, that's not the church. And I go, that stone building over there, that's not the church. I mean, I've lived down the street for 20 years here. I remember when that place was being built. I go, that's not a church. And he goes, no, that's just a meeting place. And I go, oh, yeah. We're the church. And he goes, that's right. And then he goes, okay, well, you be over there at 10 till 10 on next Sunday. This has been, I don't know, a month and a half or 2 months, whatever. That doesn't really matter. But he goes, I'll be there. And so I know that rebellious side of me, and I've learned to listen over the years better. I may have still becoming a better listener, where I have to get to my knees to hear.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So I came up here, and he's not here, of course. So I just walked in, and man, I'm immediately embraced. I mean, embraced, not physically embraced, but embraced by loving hearts.
Wonderful.
Amen.
Amen.
And God's always been active in my life.
Amen.
And that was part of the rebellion, I think, because but like I said, I'm learning to become a better listener.
Amen. Amen.
And, I walked in, I'm embraced. I realized after I was here that some of the prayers that I had been making were being fulfilled. And that's the hardest thing, that all of our prayers are always answered and always fulfilled, but that don't always look like we think they should look.
That's right.
But one of the prayers that I made was, from time to time throughout my whole life, read pieces and section of the Bible. I'm not a man reading. I never even read a book fully from cover to cover until I was in a deep, dark place, and I did read a book then, and I read it from cover to cover. But that was, in, a little embarrassed to say this, but in my 30s, that's my rebellious nature. Nobody's going to tell me to read a book. So anyways, I pick it up, and I'm a pretty quick learner, so I can pick it up and scan and read a page here, read a page there, and then pretty much figure out what the rest of it's about, I thought. But that's been my relationship with the Bible. But I made a prayer about that prior to meeting Paul Lemon, is who the brother that I encountered at Walgreens. And I made a prayer to be able to read and understand the Bible. And my relationship with the Bible was I would pick it up and just open and read, and I heard that that's been good for me. And I can pick it up later and read the same thing, and I have a whole different message for me.
Amen. Amen.
But so the first thing, one of the first things that happened, you know, I came in and I was like, where are they reading from? What the heck? How does everybody else know what's going on? I don't know what's going on. And then a brother realized that, and he brought me the copy out of the Morning Revival. And so I started feeding that. My relationship with God has been that I do it first thing in the morning, eyes open, and that's my first thing. That way I get it in. I know there's no way I'm going to miss out, regardless. And it's almost an exercise of discipline. And, but I've been lone wolfing it for a while, for quite a while, actually. Because it was something that felt like it was missing. And I came here, and there's a deep, profound, deeper meaning than man words and what we talk about. And I felt a feeling. I feel pretty much at home anywhere I go, but specifically in the message here, because for years I've always called God my business manager, and everything I do pretty much is unconventional. I guess my rebellious nature, our whole business that I've been blessed with to have and operate since 1988, it was all totally built. We have no web page. We have no, this is my phone. This actually is a phone. Those things are handheld devices. I get something done. See, I make calls and I get calls. And thank you for those long-winded texts. You're not going to get a response. I'll call you back. This guy texts me and says, are you raptured or what? Because I wouldn't answer. I didn't answer. He's trying to get me to text back. How can you know what? If I tried to text off this thing, I'd be here for 30 minutes. Anyways, I always refer to our maker, my creator, as my business manager for years. And so when I come in here and I hear the reference of God's economy and our business manager, how all these things are so familiar in my heart and in my being. And so the first thing that came after that, the realization to that prayer, was I was given a Bible with all the notes, and I'm still going, this thing is thick. See, he's trying to cut me off without the pen. You just lost your earpiece there.
I know.
So that Bible's thick, man. It's thick. And I'm going, how the heck am I going to read this? I can't. This is overwhelming. And then a brother shows up with the New Testament Recovery Version with with a footnotes and calendar in it. And I'm going, man, thank you. I can do this now because I can eat it. And then that reminds me of a prophecy of a sister that was, she was talking about the word being rotisserie chicken. Man, I can eat. I can grab that chicken and I just start getting into it. But her message was just bite it off in little pieces and enjoy it, right? That's what I can do now with that New Testament. And I'm reading the Bible. We read it all the time. It's beautiful.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, anyway, spread that seed, man.
Amen. Spread that seed, man. Brothers and sisters, there are 400,000 people in Arlington. I believe there are hundreds, maybe thousands, just like Brandt, hungry, looking for the truth, looking for the riches that we have. We just have to be faithful to open our mouths. I wanted to let you know, you probably by now have all noticed the tracks table that we have at this exit and also that one. You know, Brother Bobby mentioned the artillery. No Marine has ever paid for his own bullets that I know of. So the church would like to pay for your bullets. We'd like you to take as many tracts as you can hand out each week. We have four brothers that are going to be manning and taking care of the tracts tables, and they will be replenishing them every week. So please take as many as you like. This is still a work in progress. We don't have any real contact information on the tracks yet other than the BFA website address. Eventually, we will have a kind of a phone number or email that people can reach us at. If you feel to, and it may require some discernment, but you could leave your name and phone number for some people. Wouldn't necessarily recommend that for everyone. But anyhow, brothers and sisters, we really hope that this would not be a flash in the pan kind of experience, but that it would really become a part of our living. Passing out tracts, spreading the word, opening our mouth would be a habitual matter. May the Lord work it out in Arlington, and may he gain the increase that he's after. Amen. Amen.